wala kau na pagka may ulapi. Puro kaya kapag may tulog ma.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What are those? What are those?
Chicanos, bro.
Oh, shit, man.
Fuck, bro.
Fuck, man.
Chicanos, bro.
Chicano.
Yo, dude. You know what, dude? You know what, dude, bro?
Yeah, man.
Raiders, eh?
Oh, the Oakland Raiders. Yeah. What about them?
Oakland.
Okay. What else? What else?
That's it, bro.
Okay, bro. Bye. See you next week.
Yeah. Oakland, bro. Yo, dude. But for real, dude. Shut up. I love you, I mean. Yo, dude, we haven't had a lot of Chicanos on the show. Mexicans. We had Al Madrigal, but he doesn't count, really. Does it count?
He speaks Spanish.
Does he speak Spanish?
I don't know, but he doesn't look like...
He's married to Corinne woman.
He's like a nerd Hispanic, right?
And he's still Mexican.
I don't know.
He is Mexican.
Because he penetrates Asian. You know what I mean? He's like a...
Doesn't make you
He's ambiguously Mexican.
Okay, let's go with that.
Very good comic, though. And but we haven't had a full-blooded one in ever, really, to be honest with you. And we got one today. Well, let me introduce everyone in the room first up. We got George. God, George. You know what? I made a mistake that fucking George is a pink dick, because whenever I'm on stage now, somebody yells it out.
Oh, is that
in the audience? George has a pink dick! And then I had to explain to the crowd that who he is, and I don't like doing that. But we got my fucking girlfriend here, Kalila, and my partner here. We got here Gilbo, and then we got a very special guest, Jesus Trejo. Yeah. Give him a round of applause. Hey, dude, what's up?
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Real voice.
Bro, I'm going to say something right now, dude.
Do you make fun of my look?
Yeah, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's great.
Because let me tell you something right now, man. You don't look human at all, bro.
Really?
I mean, when you smile, you have little chiclet teeth.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with your Hispanic.
No, all good.
And then you see a lot of gums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get sponsored by Ringley's. That's what I want to get to in comedy.
Yeah, yeah. And you look like, remember back in the 50s, 40s, circus, they used to have those pinheads? I don't know what the disease is. You know, you kind of have half, you know, of a pinhead.
Yeah.
No, but I'm being real. Like, if you were in, like, a circus in the 1950s in Mexico City.
Killing it.
Oh, my God. The lions would be just all around the corner. Mm. You have a peso to even get in to watch you.
I should have went into that instead of comedy.
What?
I should have went into that instead of comedy.
No, yeah, dude. Bro. Because here's the problem. Here's the great thing about you, dude. Not only do you have a funny look, you're a funny guy. You really are a funny guy. You know how to write a joke.
Oh, thanks,
yeah,
man.
You know who you are. But dude, your face, bro. Fuck.
Yeah, man.
It's for real, dude.
Yeah, I get it all the time. I mean,
what do they say?
Yeah, what do people say?
Tear
drops out his
eyes. This is the best roast joke I've ever heard about me. We were going back and forth with Ian Edwards, and Ian Edwards said, he's like, tell me, why do you have the complexion of a hot black girl?
You do. Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but it's like, you can always tell how happy I am by the gum to teeth ratio. You
know? Yeah.
The more gums you see, it's like, oh, he's happy.
God, you got a lot of gum, dude.
But I'm like a dog. The more wet you see my gums, it's like, okay, he's hydrated.
See, that's what I like. Because here's the thing, dude. I look at myself in the mirror, right? And
sex
I can
symbol.
Make fun of myself.
Oh, okay.
I've always been like that. I'm very self-deprecating. I really don't give a fuck what I look like.
Right.
When I was younger, I did. When you know, in high school, when you're like, you look in the mirror, you go, oh, I don't look like Brad Pitt. Mm. You know, that's never gonna happen. It's never. You know, you realize the amount of pussy you're gonna get throughout your life, and it's really depressing because when you're ethnic, you're living in America, you're weird looking.
Right.
You think to yourself, I'm unfuckable. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know that there are other ways. You pay, you get famous, or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The things that I've done, you know? But my point is that I'm like that too, so I know what I look like. I like the way I look.
Self-deprecating took me a while to get into, but I feel like comedy is the only business. It's like, look, if you're a model, you start losing your hair, career's over.
Game
but
over.
In comedy, it becomes an asset. Whatever's wrong, like my, like I talk about my fucked up teeth. I say that my bottom teeth look like downtown LA from far away.
Holy shit! It's like a skyline.
It really does. It's like a skyline.
We're gonna zoom in on this.
Wow! Yeah.
There's a Bank of America tacos.
Yeah, like
now I can't fix it because I have a joke. If I fix it, I lose five minutes of material.
Don't ever fix it.
Kind of like my comb over. Once it started falling off, it's like, ooh. Like I literally shaved off 20 minutes. And now I have this hologram.
And I remember your comb over joke, too.
Oh, yeah.
That would kill.
Pablo Francisco got his teeth fixed.
Really?
Yeah, but one day he just showed up with, like, you know, the mask teeth. Remember the movie The Mask?
Like the perfect?
They're just white. Yeah, just gigantic white pearly teeth. You know, I don't like that. I like
real. You know what? It's like I remember reading this thing. ODB, mm-hmm. when he got money, he got the grill. He didn't fix his teeth. He put the like grill over the fucked up teeth. Yeah. I'm like, I want to do that shit. I want to get a grill and just put it over my fucked up skyline
teeth.
Yeah.
I just don't keep them.
Thank
keep
you.
Keep your teeth, dude. Here's another thing. So this is a good year for you, right? I mean,
it's been a blessing. Well,
you went to Montreal Comedy Festival.
Third year in a row, yeah.
Third year. You did New Faces this year or no?
No, last year. The year before that, I went with Jeff Frost for the roast battle.
Right.
Then New Faces last year, and then I went this year.
And you did the minority show or the gala show?
I did a Variety magazine top 10 comics to watch.
Ooh, who's fucking fancy in this town right now?
That made my heart so happy. I texted you immediately.
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't text you at all. Fuck it.
No, I get it.
I don't give a fuck. No, congratulations.
Thank you. But Kalayla's always been super sweet.
Kalayla,
I appreciate
it's fine.
Kalayla. My teeth get in the way, bro.
Yeah, I know, bro.
Kalayla, man. Kalayla, bro.
You motherfuckers, that's how you want me to say it, huh?
Thank you so much.
But you've always been very supportive, and I appreciate it. That means the world to me. I mean, this business is hard as fuck.
What about me, bro?
You too, of course. Thank you.
The more me, right?
Bobby. More Kalayla loves you. Dude, Kalayla loves you, bro.
The tiger belly staff, how's that?
Thank you. Yeah, good enough.
So you did that, and then you have are you still doing that thing with Sacha Baron Cohen? You have a little TV thing?
Yeah, we're developing.
That's amazing.
A project at 4x2.
Sasha signed him, and they're doing things. Yeah,
We're in the midst of meeting with the showrunners, which is nice.
Yeah.
And it's a path I've never been down, you know, before, and it's great. It's a good experience, whether it happens or not. I'm just happy to be in the room, you know?
You know what I love most about you, and that's why when I see you doing so well, it makes me so happy. When I go to the comedy store with Bobby, there's always a sense of playing politics. I think everyone always generally plays that game. You are the only person that I've ever met who doesn't play by those rules at all. You are just so genuinely yourself. And just genuinely...
No, just genuinely nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've never heard anyone say a bad word about you.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anyone go... people make fun of your look, but like in terms of your like, you know, in terms of you as a person, you're just very soft and kind. You've always been like that ever since I've known you.
I mean, even since I used to sell dope. And I'm playing.
You never did that.
No.
And here's another thing that people don't know about Jesus Trejo is that you live with your parents, right?
Yeah.
Your parents are, how old are they?
72, 73.
Oh.
And you're basically their caretaker,
soul
right?
Caretaker. I'm the only child of my mom and dad.
And he lives in Long Beach. And for you guys who don't know LA very well, that's about an hour.
2 hours.
Two hours in traffic to travel. And you travel to LA every day to do comedy.
Yeah, but sometimes they're like, why are you up here so early and you're up here every day? I'm like, I just drive to quote unquote work. You know, I just go to a Starbucks and freeload off their Wi-Fi and chill. Yeah.
But because I just did a documentary that you had me on about you. It's a documentary about you caretaking your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your parents are old school Hispanic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to show you a picture of my dad.
Yeah.
Because they're asking for photos of my dad. When I tell you my dad looks like, you just tell me who he looks like. I'm okay. Not even gonna say it. It's very obvious who you
can. I just guess before I even say it.
Yes,
Edward James Olmos.
No, that's me in eighth grade. Okay.
That's Selena's dad.
So you watch Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my
god! Oh my god!
It's like Pablo Escobar.
Pablo Escobar. That's what your dad looks like.
It's crazy.
Your dad looks. I mean, he looks like a hard worker. Just on that photo.
The definition of hard work, like my dad's picture, should come up. Like this dude. Like when the whole shit went down with my dad, like he got sick or whatever, like I took over the landscaping business. So I've been like mowing lawns during the day and then doing comedy at night.
Oh my God.
And going home, taking care of my mom. And I mean, look at my farmer's tent. It's like through the roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when my dad came back, you know, he went out there to help me with the landscaping, and I didn't want him to work too much. So he was just kind of hanging out. And I had one of those days where I was just having a bad day. You know what I mean? And I told my dad, I broke. I'm like, you know what? Gardening couldn't have been your dream. What was your dream? This fucking wasn't it.
Yeah. You know?
And he told me that it's like, I always had 2 to 3 jobs. I never had time to sleep. People have dreams if they sleep. He's like, I sacrifice so you can sleep and have a dream. And I said, zzzz.
Oh,
and
I started working. You're about to make me cry right now, dude.
Oh my
but
God.
But that's real shit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and oh, he's funny God. As hell. He's funny as hell, man.
Your dad had no dreams.
Huh?
He didn't dream because he couldn't sleep.
He wanted you to have
that's
dreams.
That's the punchline of that joke, Bobby.
It's funny. I'm laughing. Sorry.
Look at my teeth again.
No. yeah.
Okay, we're back.
No,
we're back.
Point, dude, that is very poignant and really just a sweet thing. You know, I guess immigrants come to this country like my parents did. My dad worked a lot.
Yeah.
And they worked their asses off so that we can. I mean, that's primarily the reason why I got sober at such a young age is because if I was, my parents were white or whatever, and they were Asian, but they just lived here for a very long time. But I know how hard my parents work. And just so when you're doing drugs and stealing money from them and acting like a crazy person, there are times where you look at them and you go, even as a kid, I understood that, like, oh, there's something really fundamentally wrong with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because they're doing everything for me, you know, and my brother, providing for us. They want us to have a future, and mm-hmm. I'm just fucking wasting it, you mm-hmm. know? But
when did your parents come here?
They came here. Yeah, I don't know exactly when they came here, but when they came in, like, my mom was a nanny, you know, live-in nanny. My dad did gardening and construction. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was a kid, he's worked those two jobs, construction during the week. Mm-hmm. As soon as he clocked out of that, he'd mow a couple lawns, but Friday and Saturday, like Friday, sometimes he wouldn't go to construction. So therefore, it was Friday and Saturday landscaping all day, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, if he didn't finish, Sunday he would go back and finish out of like a house or two that, you know?
What did they think of of you doing comedy in the beginning, not now.
They hate it.
They still hate it.
I don't think they come around. Yeah. They've seen me a couple times. Like, I remember they came a couple times and my dad's like,
whoa.
yeah.
He didn't say nothing. He was just like, why'd I come here?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I was like, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to work at Robinson's May. Like, and I used to sell kids' clothes.
Yeah.
And I wore a tie. And my dad still brings up that fucking job. He's like, man, remember when you wore a fucking tie? I'm like, I was selling kids' clothes.
But a tie, man, a tie.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you went to college. It's like, and you stopped doing, so you graduated, didn't get really a job, just to park cars at the comedy store. He's like, that to him is like fucked up.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah, it's insanity, but I'm like, you do that in hopes of catching a big fish. You know what I mean? It's like you let all these little fish
You
go.
Bought a lottery ticket. You know, you have to buy the ticket.
I bought it a long time ago.
I know you did. I bought one too. And I've been scratching off the numbers as we speak. And I almost have them lined up. You know what I mean?
You got them, bro.
I'm just saying that you have to buy one. Yep. Anyone listening right now,
go right
you're
now.
Not, you can't win if you don't buy.
If you don't play.
Mega
you
got
to fucking play.
You play to win.
All right?
Powerball.
My parents, when I did the Tonight Show, my dad goes, how much did you pay them? My dad thought that I paid the Tonight Show to get on the Tonight Show.
Oh, wow.
That's how little they know.
Yeah.
But what happens is, what's going to happen with you is one day they're going to see you, I'm going to buy a house, you know, and they're going to, you know, I'm sending you guys money, you know, and then they're going to go, oh.
Yeah.
When did it start for you? When did you start doing comedy or going to open mics? Or when did it actually occur to you that, hey, I want to do this?
Been a fan of it for a long time, you know, but I think after high school is like end of high school and like beginning of college is when like I'm gonna go for it. And I went to an open mic and I
where
in Long Beach off of Anaheim Street. It was a bar.
Which one? Alex's bar?
No, it was I think at the time it was called Liquid Lounge.
Oh, I think it's still there.
Is it still there?
No, I don't think so. Wait,
yeah,
I've
it's on Anaheim Street. Like it was right by my high school, and it was just the worst bar. And I snuck in. I was 20. Mm-hmm. And I asked the comic who was running it. His name's Cochino, you know. And I asked him. Yeah. And I asked him. I said, "Hey, can I go up?" He's like, "Dude, you're 20. Get out of here. They're gonna shut the place down." I'm like, "Well, if I come back next week, can I get on?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, whatever."
Yeah.
So I got past the bouncer. Yeah, I mean, I waited in the car. And as soon as he like stepped out, I was in there and I hung out in the back. They had a little ping pong table. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of like sat there. People were drinking. I just pretended to be friends, you know, laughing at their jokes.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, I'm like, "Hey, you said I could go up." He's like, "Dude, just go up." So I go up and do 3 minutes. I bomb my ass off. I dropped the mic. I tipped over the mic stand. It was so bad. It was bad. So I didn't do comedy for a full year. I'm like, this is not for me. So I go back at 21, do it again. I bomb harder than the first time, bro.
Wow.
Harder.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is definitely not it. So I stay in school.
But doesn't it feel good to bomb? I mean,
it does, in a weird way.
Even back then, in retrospect,
yeah,
even when I bombed, right, I was still impressed in the fact that I did it when I went up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was terrible. But the one thing that I was impressed, because I never thought I could do it, is that you did that.
Yeah.
And then you're choosing to do it again. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So you should, I mean, wasn't that a feeling like that or no?
No, I had some weird ass jokes. I remember the first joke I wrote is because I read the newspaper and there was like something with the death penalty. And there was something like saying how tax dollars are not going to pay for the last meal. So I said, if I'm ever about to get killed or whatever, get the death penalty. For the last meal, I'll ask for a Red Bull because I heard it gives you wings. And I just looked around the room.
That was a joke?
That was a joke.
That was so funny.
That was a joke.
I love Stop it.
I'm going to write it down. I love it.
You should have been there that day, opener. Fucker. I opened and closed with that. I said it twice and it didn't work.
Try it again.
I got that fire, man.
One of my first jokes was, I don't know why, but I said Vietnamese is such an unromantic language. Mm-hmm. And you got a beautiful girl on your arm, right? Yeah. You're looking right on her eyes, right? You're opening your mouth and you go, bang! Yeah, I just do the bang, 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 you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it was so hacky. But I think I got a laugh because of the just doing the Asian accent thing, right? Uh-huh. But like in the beginning, that's what you write because you don't know.
Right.
Especially, you know, I'm sure you had, who did you look up to? Paul Rodriguez maybe or no? Lopez?
Early on, yes, George Lopez, Paul Rodriguez, because there were like as a comic, you're like, who do I resemble, or what path do I take? Mm-hmm. So it's like these guys, and then the more I got into it, the cartoons on Saturday was Life with Louis Anderson,
yeah,
Bobby's World, which was
Howie Mandel, yeah.
So I'm like, oh man, so you just start getting exposed down the line. Don Rickles, I remember, was like, Don Rickles stood out because he roasted, and I love that so much, and it was very much like immigrant culture, you know, barbecues. Man, grandma start, you know, making fun of you, your uncles, your cousins, and you just had to hold your own, mm-hmm. defending yourself or making fun of them. So that's what stuck out about Don Rickles, and I just started getting more and more enamored. And now, I mean, my two top favorite comics are J.B. Smoove and Brian Regan.
Wow.
You like Brian Regan.
If I could be 1/18th of what Brian Regan or J.B. Smoove has, like, yeah. I feel like I've made it.
Have you met Regan?
No,
he would love you, I think.
No, I'm gonna go watch him in November. He's playing in Long Beach at the theater. Like, I can't wait.
You gonna go?
Yeah, I'm going.
Maybe I'll go with you.
Yeah, really.
I love him. Yeah. I'll call him. I know him. Get out.
That's so cool. Right now.
What? What?
You know him?
Yeah, he's the best. He's so nice. He's one of my favorites too. Growing up, even when I was in my early 20s, when he was headlining like the improv and stuff.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Scared of dogs?
What just happened?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you are yeah. scared of dogs.
Wait, you have a dog phobia?
Yeah, but
well,
I'm way better.
Fucking weird, bro. No,
I saw the dog.
He actually talks about it in his act. Yeah.
Could we not have our guests go uncomfortable?
I thought it was a joke, but what you just did there was fucking crazy.
That's real. Yeah,
I feel bad now.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm a lot better than I used to be around.
What
dogs.
What happened to you as a kid with a dog?
I got bit a bunch of times. It's happened a lot. I mean,
a dog that small though.
Yeah, a pit bull, dog that one. What breeds do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Wait, you've never loved a dog then?
So, yes, I used to have a dog, but then I got attacked and it was all bad. But
shit.
I'll tell you what, when I walked in, did you guys see how he barked at me?
Yeah.
They sense fear.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
more I backed off, the more he barked until I got close and then it walked away. So now I'm learning these tricks. Don't mm-hmm. make eye contact with the dog. Just ball up in a ball and cry. Like, that works.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting because I just saw something new.
Yeah.
The way you did that, that was really weird.
I saw fear.
That was real.
She's like that with cockroaches.
Really?
I mean, they're cockroaches.
I used to have pet cockroaches. I used to collect them in Gerber jars.
Wait, hold on. I thought Mexicans did the June bug.
Yeah.
You tie up the June bug.
The water
bug,
beetles?
Right?
Yeah. We do that, but I collected roaches that were more readily available.
Did you really?
I was a weird kid.
Oh my God, roaches.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you fuck in high school?
Not really.
No. Just say no, yes or no.
No.
I know. I already know that.
Yeah.
I never even asked you that. I could just, just based on my gut instinct, you didn't. When did you fuck first?
And we're back.
And we're back.
Do you like
what
food?
What is that?
Jesus?
Let me see. Is that you?
Yeah.
Let me see.
So this is a picture I wanted to show you at the Comedy Store when I was little. I found this one because of the documentary. So this is the one you told me. Look. So I shaved my eyebrows when I was a kid because I saw my dad shave and I shaved them off. So my mom grew out this bow cut.
Yeah.
And gave me what she calls a girl haircut so they can not see my eyebrows.
Oh!
You look so
different.
Wow,
you look so different there, though. You're so
wide. Your face looks wider and wider.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to tell you guys. See, oh, it's two-tone.
Yeah. Let me look at this. You're that chunky,
two-tone.
Too, huh?
Chunky guy.
Were you a little fat?
Yeah.
What
your
a
whole
cute
life
little
fat?
Kid. Look at this kid,
suspenders.
Baby. Aw, I love this kid so much.
That picture gets way better. Check this out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Me and the homie?
Oh,
get out of here right now.
What is that right there?
It's a teddy bear.
Oh, my God, dude. Talk about unfuckable. Look at that. That kid, based on this photo, it's like, no future. But you have one. This is so cute, dude. Send it to me.
I will.
I'm going to send it to me.
One of the things that always inspired me about you, Bobby, that you didn't give a fuck when you were on stage, like you said what was on your mind, and I've always aimed to do... Oh,
yeah.
I'm not supposed to cuss?
No, I swear. Oh. I don't give a fuck. Yeah,
okay.
I've been swearing.
But yeah, just seeing you at the store, you were always very welcoming. Do you remember I'll never forget the kind gesture.
What?
I got banned from the store for drawing a dick on the car. Do you remember this?
Whose car?
Wait, what?
It was a manager.
Yeah.
It was a manager at the time.
Why did you do that?
Because it was a dirty car, so I went and drew a dick. Oh, we've all done it.
Like
you know,
the dust.
Yeah, the dust.
What manager banned you?
So I draw the dick, and the guy comes back, and he says, hey, like, I went to go get it buffed out. The thing's not coming out. So when you saw it in the sun, kind of did this.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you could see it kind of holographic. I'm like,
it's just the holographic dick.
And I was like, okay. I mean, I'm a door guy there. I don't have a lot of money. But I said, hey, I'll give you the $100 that you
paid. I remember. It was like an older car, like a
T-Bird.
Like a T-Bird. Yeah, that's what it was. I remember now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I'll give you the $100 that you paid and, you know, wait, you know, the next check and I'll start giving you money towards another one. Yeah, I mean, I fucked up. I'll man up to my shit.
Let me guess who it is. Let me guess who it is.
He's not there no more.
I know he is not. I know who he is. He was kind of a younger guy,
Judd.
Right?
He would go by Judd.
Yeah, I know him. Okay. I didn't like him.
He was a nice guy.
Fuck him.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I draw the dick. He gets mad. Goes over everyone's head. Emails like Peter or something like that. And shit hits the fan. Like now they're like, what's up with this? And at the time I was
touring with
Paulie.
If anyone doesn't know, just stop. Peter Shore is Paulie's brother who is basically, he owns the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And this piece of shit manager went to the top.
Wait, for a dick drawing on a car?
In a comedy parking lot too?
I know.
Yeah, so but you know, I didn't mean it out of malice.
Shit on my fucking car.
And that's what used to happen. Like people started saying is it's like, why is Jesus getting banned over a drawing a dick and you know, they used to wipe shit on the car, you know, Bobby and Ari
for fun.
And so I was with Paulie at the time. I was working when he was doing that the Politic special. And so at that time I think I was already passed and I was on the road with him, so there so a manager was there that was kind of doing a consulting work, and I got banned, like I got banned for that month, and they're like, you know, Paulie shouldn't take you on the road. I'm like, so I don't work here, so there's no money coming in. The road is the only money I'm gonna get through Paulie. I'm fucked. And then they're like, you know, maybe your name won't go up on the wall. You fucked up.
Oh my God.
So now I'm crying. I'm literally, I cry very easy, so it doesn't say much, but.
Yeah.
And they get an estimate. They say this thing's going to be $3,000, right? So that's you hear so about stupid. It and you're like, dude, right now I'll give you the money. Done deal. And I remember telling you, it's like, hey, man, they're trying to teach me a lesson. Don't pay the $3,000. Like,
I remember. Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to teach me a lesson and I understand what this is. I appreciate the gesture, but no, thank you, you know? And long story short, nothing came of it. But Polly still took me on the road, and I'll never forget this. So he takes me on the road. He gave me this long talk. He's like, look, you got to stop fucking around, because when you do stupid shit like this, the industry stops fucking with you because, hey, this guy's a problem. This guy does pranks. This guy, people don't like that. And he gave me this long, sincere talk. I soaked it in. So we get to Boise, right?
Yeah.
And I love going to radio like that. I love going to morning radio. He would let me tag along. So he's like, hey, tomorrow, 5 a.m., let's meet in the lobby. Let's go. So I wake up really early. I'm waiting in the lobby, just chilling. And the windows of the hotel are like sweaty. You know that morning sweat?
Yeah.
So I go over there and I start.
You did? Penises? Start,
it was a teddy bear and a dog. Oh, that I drew, okay. Right? So I'm doing this. And I'm just waiting for Polly to get there. And I hear behind me, I hear.
Paul.
It's Paulie.
Jew breathing.
And I make eye contact with him. He's like, dude, what'd I say?
That's a good one.
I fucked up. He's like, I'm going to go to radio alone. You stay here. I'm like, fuck me. He just told me about this. He just
honestly,
told me
Jesus,
about it.
It's window doodling. Who, like, it's, when is that a fucking crime, window doodling?
Hey, bruh.
But, dude.
But here's where it gets crazy.
What lesson are they trying to teach you? Don't window doodle?
Yes, Kalila.
I'm
that's a real thing.
You know what? I'm siding with Paul on this
I'm
one.
Siding
yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
For sure.
No, this is stupid.
Let me say something right now,
think
dude.
Think about the window.
You ever fucking window doodle again.
Wow.
All right?
Shit.
You'll see what fucking comes around, fuck nut.
I'll doodle right there, bro.
All
right.
Oh! So then what happens?
So as if I don't learn my lesson, right?
Windows.
So if I don't learn my lesson, we ended up in Cincinnati, right? And we go to radio, right? We come back. Polly's really like, he has to take a number two. Like he really, really has to go. And, like,
yeah, yeah.
One of these, like in the car, like I'm not going to make
it.
Kind of
thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
and
the best. I wish I was there.
I'm busting his balls. We're all laughing, you know?
Yeah.
And so we get in. I was staying like on floor. I was staying like on the third floor, right? And Polly was staying like on the 27th floor or whatever. So we're walking, we're running in, we get in the elevator. He's like, all right, man, I'll catch up with you later for lunch. So when I get off, I grab all the buttons and I go, I push all the buttons. I'm like, and I wave at him and the door's closing slowly as he's holding his side. He's like, you fucked up, bro.
Okay.
Stop.
I thought we were just playing.
Stop. So a man has to take a shit. Let me get this right. He's on the verge. His turtle head
out.
Is sticking out of his butthole.
Prairie
turtle,
dog.
Right?
Turtle.
Yeah. And you get off on the third floor, and you press all the elevator buttons, so it takes him longer to get to his room to take a shit. How is that? Let me ask you that. Is that Mexican thinking? What is that? I mean, what is the end game there?
It's stupid thinking.
Yeah, it's not
it's
good.
Well, that's why I don't fuck around like that anymore. I learned my lesson.
That definitely is more of a crime than a doodle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little bit more serious.
Yeah, I fucked
up. It's very funny, though.
Yeah.
I fucked up. Yeah.
What did Polly say to you after?
Well, I go to my room, and I'm like in anxiety mode, just sweating out my shirt.
So you just do things without thinking it through, and then you feel guilt afterwards? Is that who you are?
I fucked up. I was just joking. It was like in the moment joking.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we were joking.
If Polly was really struggling, I would have gotten off on the third floor and shit in your bathroom. That's what I would
have
done.
That's what I would
have
done.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that.
You know what? You know, you get
right,
punished. Yeah. I'm going to shit in your bed.
Right.
What? Now, opening for him, was it a pleasant experience?
Yeah.
Any bad experiences? Or
no.
Look at me right now. What are you doing?
What?
There's no bad experiences. Not one.
I mean, he would get upset sometimes because I didn't know what I was doing. Or
on
like,
stage,
like,
you mean?
No, like merch, running the merch line and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I remember I had to do that one time.
Yeah,
I
the merch
it.
Line is difficult. It's very specific. He has a lot of fans. So it's like, you know, making sure you're taking pictures and selling the shirts. But there's just me and him, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to set everything up. And I'm a slow learner. So it took me so long to figure out how to really sell his merch. And
I could tell you used to get in trouble a lot by the way I saw you and Bobby, the way I saw you treat Bobby in the airport when you went on the road with him.
Really?
The way you would carry his bags.
Oh, that's right.
You basically rolled out the red carpet for him.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, you were like really being extra. Listen, like, can I just say that you're not, you know, you're not in my eyes an open mic or anything. I look at you like a Fahim Anwar.
Dope.
I like Jade a lot. Just someone like Jade. Somebody that now is on the brink of possibly really making it, you know? So I don't really look at you that way. I mean, in fact, where did you open for me last? San Jose? San Antonio?
No, San Jose.
Yeah, that was literally the last time in my head.
It was pandemonium for you.
Honestly, I'm going to be real with you. Rarely. And I brought hard hitters. I struggled every show, I think. That's how good you were. That's how good you were. I told her, I can't.
I was there. And I thought, I was actually worried. I was like, oh shit.
I can't fucking do it.
That's a big, you know, theater too. And that audience laughed for a straight 30
minutes. I mean, you crushed.
Boom.
And that's when I knew. I went, oh my God, there's just, this guy is there. You're there now. Now all you need to do is just get a name and then now you can headline, you know. Are you doing what? Kimmel, what are you doing?
I'm doing the Late Late Show with James Corden.
Oh my gosh.
When's that? Yes.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
But no, during the day.
During the day.
It's during the day.
Are you nervous?
I am, but not as much as I was because I ran the set so much.
How does it work? Do they let you do it over if you make a mistake?
No.
I'm not sure. I don't think that's the case. It's a tight ship that they run because
that. How was yours?
4 to 5.
Listen, I saw Regan one time on a late show.
Yeah.
Not do well. I think it was the Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. I've seen him do great, but one time I saw him, he wasn't, and they don't edit it. That's it.
You get one shot,
you
one
get
and
one
done.
One shot and stuck done. There. Yeah. Wow. So
that's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure, but but you've done TV before, right?
Yeah, like you know, here's like Comedy Central. The
trick. Here's the trick.
I'm sweating for you, my.
This
hands.
Is the trick.
Oh man.
Anyone listening, you're a comic, you're doing TV. The trick is, regardless of how you're doing, you just in your face pretend you're killing.
Yeah. Because they can edit it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, soundtrack. If you can just convince your face, yeah, that you're, like, killing, even though you don't, the timing's off or the jokes are coming out weird, right?
Yeah.
You can still survive that. But if you let them affect you.
Right.
And they can see the bomb, oh, my God, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's why I can never pass for looking calm and cool, because I always get the sweat mustache.
Uh-huh.
And it just shines. It just reflects all this light. So on camera, it's just like, oh, that bitch is in trouble. She's dying on the inside.
Yeah. But you're at a point where your ego won't allow it.
What do you mean?
Because here's what happens is that, I mean, I hate talking about shit like this, but the other day I was shooting, you know, the sitcom that I'm on, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of lines that were really just difficult. When I rehearsed, I couldn't get it out clean. And, you know, they did a couple of takes and I couldn't get it out clean. And then I could feel a little tension in the thing, like, we gotta go, come on, right?
Yeah.
And I could succumb to the pressure and fear and just unravel. But I said to myself, no, you're gonna fucking do it right now. Because if this, the consequences, you don't want that, right? And your ego just kind of pulls you through it. I think that you're at that level when you go up on the cordon.
Have you ever unraveled on stage?
Like unraveled meaning?
Like Bobby like ran out after 2 minutes and then blacked out type of unraveled.
Yeah, I mean, that used to be the case. I was doing like a long set, you know, and I panicked and I threw in the closer where it wasn't, and then the other thing, and then it was like, I had this list. I wrote out my set list like on a napkin. God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was bad. I ran behind the thing and I grabbed it. And I came back. I'm like, that's it, guys. And that got a laugh. I'm like, at least I ended with a laugh, but it was fucking terrible. Like, I wanted to make a 90-degree turn on the freeway.
Right.
Like, you know, it was
Have you ever done like, I've done that where like I was supposed to headline and I rearranged the jokes in a way where I don't know what else to do. You know, like I forget. because some jokes go with other jokes,
right
in chunks.
Yeah.
So when you switch it around, sometimes you get lost in it, and then you forget gigantic chunks. Mm. So if you're supposed to do 45 minutes, you're 20 in, and you're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I have nothing else.
Yeah.
And then I do, you know, the trick of like crowd play. What do you do?
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work, and then you know you have no out, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Where you're fucked. I did Houston Improv the first time I headlined there. Yeah. I did 17 minutes. Yeah, because I, you know.
Wait,
you know,
you're supposed to do 45?
Yeah. I did 17 minutes. I got off stage, and fans were like talking to like the manager going, can we get our money? You know what I mean? And then like the manager coming going, is that all you can do? Right? And you're like, no, I rearranged it in a way, in a fashion, but they don't want to hear
they
that.
They don't want to hear it.
They're like,
because they're there to sell drinks.
Yeah.
So they need that 45 minutes to sell the drinks.
17.
In 17, there's drinks that aren't even at the table yet. checks aren't out. It's a nightmare. And then people want their money back. It's like a fucking nightmare, dude. Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard. You know, you're trying to find tricks, but it's like the whole thing of like crowd work. It's like almost like Houdini with like locks, like that straitjacket with locks. You're trying to find a combination and get out of there before you drown. And sometimes you end up drowning. It's just how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's the worst feeling.
And a lot of these clubs now, because people want to see celebrities. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name names. Okay.
Bobby Lee.
I refuse to name names, but there have been clubs where they've had, you know, a pretty big star who isn't a stand-up that headline because they can draw. Mm-hmm. But what they when they go up on stage, it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. So they have to figure out ways to help this celebrity come up with the time. So they'll do like, why don't you do, why don't you bring everyone in the audience on stage and interview them? Like little tricks like that.
Oh, improv
game. Yeah, like a hug. Hug everyone in the audience. Do stuff like that to kill time, right?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to name names, but there's some big ones that I know that had to do tricks up there.
When that happened, I would have loved to hug everyone in the audience. I'm so sorry.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
You individually guys, apologize.
We're going to take another second to plug our sponsors.
Yeah.
I use my body as my business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what I do. And if you're going to go into war, you want the right armor, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want the right equipment. You don't want to go out there with a Swiss Army knife.
Stupid.
Fighting ISIS.
Dumb.
I use MeUndies when I perform on stage because I use it.
Mm.
It's the best quality underwear in the market.
Show us.
Right here.
Wow.
That was directions.
Damn. It really holds up your sack like I've never seen before.
Thank you. My sacks are fucking delicious.
His sacks also...
they are.
Especially when they're MeUndies.
They're very heavy and they dip very low. Yeah, MeUndies like just walnuts. Gives him the full support that he needs.
Yeah, I need them, yeah. My point is this, okay? I was wearing them the other day and walking down the street.
Yeah.
And I get a tap on my shoulder.
Get the fuck out of here.
Guess who it is?
No.
Guess.
George Clooney?
No, I don't know. Oh. What? That's weird.
Okay.
Oh. No. George Clooney.
Get on!
It was fucking George Clooney. I go, what's up,
what
dude?
What did he say? He want the movement watches?
He goes, no. He was like, dude, you're walking like free. Oh. I go, I'm a free man, dude.
Yeah.
Ever since Martin Luther King, we were free.
Yeah,
right?
True.
Right? Am I not right?
Yeah, you're right.
I go, but it's the underwear I'm wearing, dude. It makes me feel like I'm fucking wearing clouds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like light clouds.
Clouds on your dick, babe.
Yeah, don't say that, babe. It's an advertisement. Don't say that. You can say nuts and you can say stick.
You can't say dick.
You can't say dick, okay? Yeah. My point is that it really is a fashionable underwear, and I wear them all the time, and I use them on stage when I perform. George Clooney wears them now.
Chris Hansen.
Anderson Cooper.
He loves them.
Yeah. Maya Rudolph.
Oh, wow. So specific. Okay.
Yeah, Maya Rudolph.
Former SNL cast member, yeah.
And tell us about it, Gil.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it.
To get 20% off, free shipping, and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, and get the best and softest underwear you will ever own, go to MeUndies.com/belly. That's MeUndies.com/belly. This is a limited time offer, so what are you waiting for? Start wearing the best underwear of your life. It's changed Bobby's life. It's time to let MeUndies change yours.
It's a career changer.
Mm-hmm. Go to MeUndies.com/belly right now.
Bye.
Wow, best underwear ever. Love it.
Yeah, I love it. I love underwear, man.
Right, Jesus?
MeUndies for life, bro. Yeah, stand-up is fucking hard in that way, you know? But yeah. But once you figure it out, you know?
It's good, yeah. Once you start putting pieces together, like, it starts to fit like a narrative, which is fun. Start to talk about what happened in your day. Like, one of the tricks I do now when I do, like, long sets is that in the beginning I try to improvise, you know, that way I hold my material as long as possible.
I do that too.
Really?
I do. You know what sometimes I do? I go, I want to see how long you can go
without saying a joke
and see how long. Sometimes you can last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But sometimes 10 seconds.
Right into material.
And then you go right into material. Yeah. It's really weird.
Well, you were there the first time he did stand up.
Oh, yeah.
I blacked out too. And that's when I improvised.
You know what's so impressive? You were supposed to, like, 8 minutes. You ended up doing, like, 15?
That was
15?
His very first time because he forced him up there.
Yeah, I remember, bro. You decimated. Talk about being scared to go up after. I was scared to go up after you. It was in Brea.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, boy. Like, what do I do now? But, bro, you decimated the room. It was had act outs. Remember talking about act outs, voices.
I was so nervous too. I was like, he's gonna eat it. He's gonna eat it
I
so bad.
I just watch old Bobby Lee YouTube videos.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? Patterns. It's like, you can do what you want, but that's the key to you.
I cannot believe you didn't keep up with stand-up.
Yeah, I don't know
it
why you don't
my mind.
Do it. It's really? So. Dumb.
I'll tell you what happened after that. I came with all that hot confidence. Yeah. I decided to hit the open mics for a week.
Yeah.
And that, woo, that just like,
that destroyed
that made me go, oh, I'm not funny. I need to learn how to write jokes and not bank on charisma.
Yeah, but how are you funny? How can you be funny in front of just a bunch of comics and no audience
exactly.
at 2 a.m? The open mic scene isn't about you getting laughs. It's about going through boot camp.
Yeah. Muscle memory. That
right. It's that. Yeah. You're training, right? Mm. It's not about, you know, you can go in front of a crowd and kill. Yeah. But that's not what that's there for. Mm. That's for paying your dues and all that other stuff. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't do it. But my point is that I really believe that you're missing out on a gigantic opportunity.
Fuck, now I'm pumped.
Yeah, man. Shit. You know when Bobby said earlier, is like on the Tonight, on the Late Late Show, is like if you're bobbing, act like you're doing well. That's something you learn on at an open mic. No one's laughing. Comics are just waiting to go up. So you're just like, and you know, set a punch, and then you get off. You're like, fuck me. But it's an exercise. Yeah, yeah. And worst case scenario, if you say that joke and no one laughs, can you still go on to the next one and not get off in 60 minutes or? Go back and behind the stage and look at my list and be like, that's all I had.
That's all I had. Was it an elevator?
Yeah.
Like, I saw Rogan once, like, years ago, 15 years ago, when I first moved to L.A. Mm. It was a rowdy show in the OR or whatever. And people were just talking and whatnot. And he did something interesting. He started pulling back his vocals to the point where he was almost whispering. He was still talking in a normal voice. And then the room quieted down.
Oh, I
that's
see.
A trick.
Because
yep.
just to hear them, you know what I mean? They wanted to hear them. You know, your gut instinct is to like talk over them.
Yeah.
That makes it worse. A lot of times if you just pull back, but you learn all those little tricks from just doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. But also just in terms of opportunity, if I didn't have stand-up, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in right now. I wouldn't have anything. I'm not strong enough as a comedic actor. You know, everything that I get is through my reputation and all the things I've done and what I bring to it. But all of that is based on the root, which is stand-up. Hmm. I mean, they put my name up at the Comedy Store every night for the last 20 years. That just subliminally, you know, people drive by that, you know. It's all a part of, I just think that I would not make it if I didn't have it.
It's like having the muscle but not using it for anything. You have the muscle. Mm. It's there. And then you're just letting it atrophy for no good reason. Why not flex it, you know?
Yeah.
But or, also, I want you to feel the pain. Okay?
Of...
George is laughing because he goes to open mics every day.
I want you to feel the pain of like years of like nothing happening.
Well, I'm already feeling. You know, I'm already feeling it.
And I want you to go, okay, I have to try everything.
Yeah. I still hit up open mics all the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many. Like, you can do two or three. Like on Wednesday, this Wednesday, if you're not doing anything, you know, there's a run that you can do three open mics within like 50 yards of one another. Yeah. You start off at South Comedy Hall, you go to Dunkey's Art Gallery, and then you do the coffee shop right next door, all within, you know, walking distance. So if you want to do it, you know, let's do it on Wednesday. I do it all the time.
Dope. When I, also, here's another thing. When I first came to L.A. in 97, Hollywood Boulevard was dangerous. Hmm. It wasn't what it was. There was prostitutes there. There were drugs. I mean, it was not what it is now. They didn't have the fucking Academy Awards. They didn't have that. Right, what is next. That? With that, whatever that fucking theater they have, the Academy Awards.
The Pantages?
Yeah, they didn't have any of that. It was fucking a disaster. So there was this fucking alleyway where there was this like fucking club that did open mic. And I remember going there every week, and there was no one in the audience, and it was dingy. It reminded me of the movie Seven. It was just like always just kind of dark, and you're gonna find a fucking dead body or something. Mm. And I remember meeting this guy there. He was this fat redheaded kid that did open mics with me, and he wore a white shirt and he wore a gigantic green tie that was like thick, right? And he would go up and just scream at people. Well, he's now an executive at Comedy Central, Jordy.
That's so crazy. Really?
Yeah, but back then, Jordy and I, and let me say this, like every job I get for Comedy Central is all through Jordy.
Right.
Jordy will just text me, go, you want to do this? But that relationship is only there because we went to boot camp together.
You forged it there.
Yeah. And that's why that's also important, you know, is that you meet even guys that like I don't hang out with. That I when I saw Zach Galifianakis at that movie I did, that Keeping Up with the Joneses, he was there, and I remember him looking at me. I hadn't seen him in years since Hangover. I hadn't seen him since he blew up, really. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he gave me like a war buddy hug. Like, hey, there we, you know, you weren't there, man. No, I mean, like, it was that kind of like
the trenches.
Yeah, and he treated me so nice, like we were brothers. And I think I equate it to just growing up with these guys, you know? You're missing out on that, too. But you know what? You did do sketch. You are from, you know, you do live shows. And that's a part of it, too, and that's great. But you can do it. You know, I've seen you do it. You're so
amazing.
Unbelievably amazing for amazing. The little amount of time that you did
for real,
do it.
Man.
But you live in fear and a little bit of delusion.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, here it goes.
You do.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you ever at one point in your life think fear, that, you delusion. Know what, like, why am I doing this? Or it's not moving in the direction or the speed that I need it to go. Do I quit now? Did you ever consider quitting?
All the time. I mean, because it's so hard, like the unpredictability of this business, you know? It's like, I haven't done it as long as Bobby. I mean, but in my short little 10 years, I'm like, the unpredictability is like, I don't know when the next check's coming. I mean, it's starting to get a little better, but still you're just like, what the fuck do I do? It's like, if, you know what I mean? It's like you start looking ahead and the calendar's kind of blank. You're like, am I going to have to apply for a McDonald's job just to get through this for the next gig? I mean,
it's... No, dude.
Lyft, bro.
Lyft, yeah. Yeah.
You're at a point now, you're fine. Listen to me right now.
Slowly.
No, I'm telling you right now. This is real. This is really...
I predicted it 2 years ago, she did, remember?
Yeah.
When we had a long talk about everything.
She had a list, bro. You?
There was two people
Jack
in
Knight.
Mm-hmm. Jack Knight, you said, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Fahim is one of them. Literally, I'm not kidding you, bro. I have no worry.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Not a shred of worry. Give me a name that's at your level.
I mean, I don't know.
Who are your friends?
DeMar Randy.
Never heard of him.
He's a funny dude.
He's great.
He's great.
That's my point. And my point, though, is that I don't know these
good exercise. Right.
That's it.
That was a fun game, huh?
Fun game.
We're going to
work on it. We got to work on that fucking game. But I don't even know the rules of that game. But it was fun. You know?
Yeah. It's, but yeah, it, like you made me think when you were saying that, it's like, I wish I can give credit to who said this, but I remember either hearing or reading, it's like, it almost seems like in this business, you're not trying to impress a casting director or producer or whatever. It's your friends that you're coming up with, because when they get something, it's like, hey, Jesus, go do that thing you did at the parking lot where you drew a dick on the window. It's like, do that. And
yeah.
They, and they call on that because you're showcasing for your friends. You, I know my friends' range of what they can do. And it's mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. And that reminded me of that. So
do you think that I did Chelsea lately? I did like 80 of them when I needed to because I'm a good panelist. I'm terrible. There were many times where I don't. Were you dating then?
Yeah, you made me write like 90%.
Yeah, bits. Like,
you were his Bobby Lee's joke writer.
Yeah. My point is, that
Nick
it was
Youssef.
Terrible. But
funny stuff.
Me and Nick Youssef would scramble for an hour to get him the joke.
Yeah, yeah. My point is that
it was the worst. Experience.
I needed it at the time, and Chelsea and I started together, so it was just an outlet. You know, it's like. So I'm just saying that that's important. Anyone mm-hmm. listening, guys. You just gotta fucking buy the ticket, huh?
Buy the ticket and wait. Wait to see what happens.
And pray and cry.
Sometimes that ticket might not
win. But let me ask you this, though. When you got on the Variety list,
yeah,
how did that feel?
That's huge.
It felt really good, man. Montreal was a different.
Can somebody have
Gobi?
You're a Tiger Blood. Our guests feel uncomfortable.
JFL was a different experience. Like the festival going with the Variety thing was a different experience. It was just, you know, I could feel people talking to me a little different,
yeah.
which is never had happened before.
Yeah.
I did a panel, which was nice. People were like listening. The people were nodding and listening. Like, what the fuck do I have to say to these people? There's like execs and managers, agents
out
there.
Yeah, yeah.
My managers were there, which was awesome. But, you know, all these other people, like you just see them like nodding and stuff. I'm like, fuck is happening? Like, what do I have to bring to the table? You know?
Bobby and I always we have a running list of people who are either open micers or comics now who we predict whether or not they're going to change and turn into divas.
Uh-huh.
So we play this game a lot, and he's always like, that person, nope, monster. We don't think our bet is you will never change.
You'll never change.
Oh, wait till I get money. Fuck, no, I'm playing.
There's no way.
I'm gonna get my teeth fixed.
Yeah, put gold on my fucked up teeth.
I don't know about Jack Knight. I can't read him yet.
I love Jack. Cool.
I know, but I feel like maybe
Jack won't change.
You'll
cool
think,
no.
But Fahim for sure not.
No, for sure not.
Fahim not. He'll never change.
I don't think he'll
ever
change.
There's just a few. Yeah. Candace will never change.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that one. But
yeah, none of those guys and girls, I don't think they'll change. You see how genuine they are, and people love them because of that. Mm. Like, they're real, you know?
How long have you been dating your girl?
Long time.
How long?
9 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's been with you 9 years, huh?
Yeah.
She live with you too, with their parents?
No. She's similar situation, taking care of her mom and stuff like
you
that.
You Hispanics are so good with family.
God, such good people.
No, they are, man. They are.
Yeah, that's it's a family thing. That's why if you go into a convalescent home, old people home, you'll never see Latino people there. Mm-mm. And if they do, it's under a very weird circumstance.
Yeah. No Filipinos either. Just the nurses.
The nurses, right?
Yeah.
Is that like that in the Korean?
Fuck yeah, bro.
We're
good too, dude. But here's the thing: like, I read an article once about gang members,
yeah,
and like African American gangs are mm-hmm. territorial.
Mm-hmm.
That this is our street,
yeah,
right. Hispanic games are more family driven. You
Hispanic
hurt my cousin.
Still the correct term.
Whatever. You hurt my cousin, we're gonna get you. You know, my brother got hurt by you. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Cambodian gangs.
Yeah.
This scientific thing that I read, there was no reason for their violence.
The Tiny Rascals
just,
is where, in Long
just
Beach,
violent?
Right?
No,
Long Beach is.
Hey, Joel, yeah, happy birthday. Like, whatever it is.
We have the Cambodian gang in Long Beach. It's the Tiny Rascals. Right?
Yeah, they go crazy for no reason.
But isn't Long Beach has the biggest population of Cambodians outside of
Cambodia? Yeah, we have Cambodia Town.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Siem Reap, it's the best restaurant.
I love Pol Pot.
No, dude, that's not good. That's not good, Pol Pot.
That's not good. What do you mean?
Hey, bro, it's
what
do
you
mean?
You think it's. Bro, come on. You think it's good that they killed.
It's a soup.
No.
Well, I was. There's a soup called Pol Pot.
Okay.
You ever had Pol Pot soup?
What's the soup made of, Bobby?
What is coconut juice.
And?
And?
Leaves.
Okay, what else?
Mint.
Okay.
Curry.
Lemongrass.
Carrot and lemongrass. Pol Pot.
Are those things that just popped into your head as you went along?
Fuck you, bro. No, I'm in terms of, dude, let me say something right now, okay? Yeah. You don't have a list of your favorite, like, bad people?
No.
You don't have your list of favorite serial killers?
No, definitely not.
I do. Number one, Dahmer.
Why?
Because he liked to eat blacks and Asians. He ate two Asians and eight black guys.
It's like vitamins.
You know, aside from the riots, you know, you know, the blacks and the Koreans, we got in, there was tension in the riots, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then if you look back, we were all on Jeffrey Dahmer's menu. So that's a way to bond.
Okay. Mm.
And then you have Rush Hour, the movie. That's another way to bond, right? So, you know, the riots, the tension, and now it's like relieved a little bit. Like in terms of Jeffrey Dahmer was good. I liked Ed Gein. Without Ed Gein, there would be no Silence of the Lambs, the movie.
Mm. Mm.
So in many ways, you can see, you know, the good.
Also, you guys should watch Mindhunter on Netflix if you haven't already. Yeah.
Mindhunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, and I watch porn, Pussy Hunter, bro.
Hey,
that's what. Hey, yeah, yeah.
One more time,
hey.
One more time, one more time.
Yeah, yeah, there yeah. How you eat it, bro?
That's how it sounds, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and the skyline of L.A.
That's you, Jesus.
That's me. That's the Ernst & Young.
Well, someone already asked the industry question here, so you guys answered it pretty well already. So
people like those. You know what though? People like it.
Yeah.
So I on Twitter, a couple of guys said, we like it when you talk about Hollywood. So yeah. We're not going to stop doing that.
A lot of our unhelpful advice are those. So yeah. You guys, we already answered that. So we'll go to the very bottom one. Get Jesus' take on this. Hi, Tiger Belly. There's a cute Asian girl in my chem class that I want to talk to, but I only see her Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'd sit next to her, but she has a close group of friends that box her into the corner seat. I'm an Asian guy, 23, and I'm a big fan of the show. How do I approach her? Any techniques, Jesus? Used to pull back.
I know exactly how to do it.
I know
it.
How you feel.
No, you. What you do is you go up, right, and you compliment all the girls,
the friends.
Like, let's say the girl's name is Sally. Mm-hmm. So you go to the friend Sabrina. Sabrina, I like your hair. Hey, Katie, I like your eyes. You have great eyes. Then you look at the one you like and you go, "You're all right."
Yeah.
You hurt them a little.
Like classic nagging.
It's nagging. I mean,
yeah, a little. You hurt them a little. And that's, then you get into their mind.
Nah.
There's books written about it.
Bobby negs you and you're in love with him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not, what he does is not negging. That's domestic abuse.
So, he just pictured it.
Oh, I've been sucking on her titties, like forcing it.
No, guys, it's so consensual. There's no forcing involved.
No, she'll go, what are you doing? I want to do that right now. I'm going to eat it. And I'll just grab her titty like aggressively.
Consensual. I let him do it.
Consensually, but like in a claw. And I'll claw her
but
titty.
I like it.
She doesn't
I
like
allow
it.
Him. I, she'll go, no, I'm like, yes, no. Yes.
She'll go, no. I'll eat. And I'll start sucking on
do it. Do
it.
Like
this is not a response.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so your take?
Oh, my take on that? Let's see.
Wait, I have, before you answer that,
yeah.
Can I just say one thing?
What's going on, Bobby?
I have a question real quick.
Bobby!
Yeah.
Yeast.
I wanted to bring this up so far, don't forget. So, just real quick. I was at work today, and every day I go to work, mm-hmm. there's a little kid that's on the show.
Okay.
It's a family show. And this little kid, Sander, just listen, he punches me in the butt.
Yeah.
That's cool.
From behind, he'll just start punching me in the butt, right? And I, you know, everyone's around, and people are laughing, so I'll laugh. I'm like, ha, 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 right? But I get angry because there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
I said, stop, and he just keeps, he goes, ha, ha. He's like eight. He's very talented.
Yeah,
but he just loves it. It's fine.
Yeah,
but it's like, what do you do? You can't do nothing, okay. Right?
Run. So unhelpful advice for Bobby. What should Bobby do in this unhelpful advice, Kyle? Yeah.
I think you should run. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You run.
Yeah, what do I do?
Just run.
Don't. Stop.
I do run away a little bit, and her mom goes, "Stop it, Sander! Stop it!"
Every time he does it, run to the mom and hide
behind
her.
Right. That's what I'm gonna do. That's great.
Make that way, she's aware.
Ah, yeah.
I in my head, I imagine you laughing and pretending you're enjoying it. So how is a kid supposed
to
know?
Yeah, but why can't I
stop?
Punch him back, but he can't?
You can't punch him back.
You can't, right? You can't punch
you
him.
You can scold him.
No, I love
him.
He's so cute.
He wants to
kid.
Be the fun, you know, the fun,
oh, the
yeah, fun,
I the fun guy.
Uncle.
All right, anyway, so answer the question of the lady.
The guy. How does he talk to the girl?
How does he talk to the girl? He should walk by and be like, hey, I got the answers to the test right here, and they're on this table, so if you want to sit, I don't know.
Good. Real good.
Yeah.
I like
how did you get your lady?
We met at Bed Bath & Beyond. That's
classic.
We worked there, and then she
you worked at which department? The Beyond part?
Bobby Lee. That's the laugh he does with the kid.
Patronizing.
What department did you work in?
Towels.
Are you being real?
Yeah. We're full of towels.
Yeah. But just, you know,
they had this
cleaning supplies. Cleaning supplies?
Huh?
Wow.
That's where you be real.
It's not cleaning supplies, it's towels. It's bath
cleaning
part.
Supplies. Come on. Let's be real.
Towels.
All right, towels.
So you guys were folding?
Yeah, we were just folding towels and stuff, and yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, I met her in the break room, and like, hi, and she's like, you're a weirdo. I'm like, all right, I'll leave. And then we just would hang out, but she wasn't really into me to begin with. She was like, who the fuck's this weird guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, it's pronounced Jesus, you know?
So cute.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And how did you guys meet? I don't think I've ever
Tinder.
Asked
you. Tinder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't
so
know.
So boring.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Is. It's like such. It's like the.
It's
worst
a contemporary
story ever.
Way.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do like Bed Bath and Beyond. So
you
want to
do
that? I tried in the beginning. I used to try and tell people, like, I would lie and be like, "Well, we met at a coffee shop because that's where we went on our first date."
Via Tinder.
But then he would be like, "No, we didn't, bitch. It's Tinder." Yeah, and I'm like, God, I can't even lie.
But yeah, technically, you could say coffee shop because that's where you officially met face.
I would have never met her unless it was Tinder. Okay.
I know, but why aren't they giving us money to keep plugging them every episode?
Every.
Do you need anything else to plug?
Yeah, plug your shows.
I'll be doing a one-nighter at Ontario Improv November 12th.
You got to go, guys.
Ontario Improv.
Go check
November
out my
12th.
Friend Jesus Trail. How much is it? Probably not that much, right? $5.
Just sign up for the emailing list. I'm sure you get thing. They'll paper the room for sure. Because it's Jesus Trejo performing there.
What's your handle?
Twitter at Jesus Trejo, and then Instagram at Jesus Trejo in the number one, and then JesusTrejo.com, Facebook fan page, ooh. Jesus Trejo Comedy. But yeah, I will be at the Ontario Improv November 12th.
Got it.
Great news. Him.
Go see him, guys.
Listen, dude, we needed a guest today, and you came through. I really appreciate it, dude. I've always loved you, and thank you for coming here.
Thank you, guys. It. Love you guys. This is great. This is huge.
Pretty,
I love the podcast.
You have a pretty big fan base.
Yeah, no, I thank you for letting me.
Million downloads a month.
When did you break your lenses?
A little while ago.
Wait, but not like today. It didn't just happen today. Okay.
Well, you don't have money to fix it?
I do.
No, how much does that cost?
How
much does it cost?
I have another pair that I use.
How much does it cost to fix that?
Probably not a lot.
I'll
fix them here.
How much? I'm asking you a fucking question, you fucking Bean.
I don't know.
What?
I can't call him Bean?
What's your
Look
Venmo?
Look up Lens Crafters. I don't know. Yeah,
what's your Venmo? Like. People actually give money.
Some girl gave her a Venmo and they sent her money.
I'm going to say something racist now. Can I? No.
Go
no.
for it, bad Bean.
Why do you have to refry? Why do you have to refry the bean? It's already fried once.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question, though.
Maybe they forgot.
They forgot the first time.
But why do
it again. I already fried it.
Well,
just do it again, dude. See what happens.
What accent is that? I'm curious.
Do an Asian accent.
I don't know.
Try
your best.
I don't know.
No, try.
Bobby.
good.
That's it.
Jesus, everyone.
I think it is the most abrupt.
Thank you, guys.
Ever. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, yeah, go take her. She just went down.
Do we need
to
come back later, Dwarf?
I'm going to stop calling it house cleaning because someone's like, why are you saying house cleaning? It's housekeeping. I'm like, God
damn it. Housekeeping? Well, that's ours is different from everyone else.
It's house cleaning. We'll be right back.
Fuck you guys. Be right back? Okay, we'll be back. Hello. We are back for some
house cleaning.
Slash housekeeping, but I think
cleaning.
Cleaning, because we're cleaning.
Also, what is the problem, guys? House cleaning, housekeeping, same fucking meaning.
What's how do you say it in Tagalog? Let's see if we can rebrand this ending thing.
I don't know what the...
Just cleaning. Repeat it twice.
Yeah, Bisaya is just it's the same as Spanish when you say limpio, to clean.
So limpio.
Limpio, limpio.
Limpio, limpio. And when you say sigi, sigi. We'll be back with some sige sige.
I don't know what is in Tagalog. I don't speak Tagalog as
Basaya.
Well.
Okay, Basaya.
It's limpio is the verb. So
limpio. We'll be back with some limpio.
Limpios balay.
Limpio, yeah, limpio balay. In Spanish, George?
Limpiando. Limpiando la casa.
Limpiando. Well, we don't
limpiando
have
la casa.
Andos in the...
The casa. So, George, anything?
Quick shout out to Rebecca Nand on YouTube comments. I don't know. It warmed my soul. She just said, it's insane how much this podcast means to me. And, you know, maybe compared to the other comments, that would, I liked it. So thank you, Rebecca. It's what I needed. And, thanks to our, sponsors. So, check out, movement.com/belly, blueapron.com/belly, and meundies.com/belly.
Hashtag George Clooney, Chris Hansen, Anderson Cooper, hashtag AC360.
Right.
Tweet us if you think the Russians are spying. Fucking CNN.
I went to Trader Joe's right before we recorded this podcast, and I want to do a shout out to the girl who came up to me at the cash register who had to see me in all of my crusty ass glory. You know how when you go to the store and you're like, oh, I'm not going to run into anyone, and I'm just going to go in and out of there. Usually in my head, I'm like, I don't want to run into anyone from my past. I never actually think.
Is that
a
fear?
I think everyone thinks about that once in a while. Like, on the day that I look like dog shit, the likelihood of meeting, you know, my ex-boyfriend's current girlfriend is very high. That's just how life works. So, shout out to her for having to, I was extra crusty at Trader Joe's.
Muta?
Probably some muta. Just like seriously my and you know the really bright white lights, so shout out to you and sorry that I that my face was
but also shout out to the cash the cashier who asked Kalilah, do you make YouTube makeup videos?
No, because when she said hi to me, she's like, hi Kalilah, and then I turned around and I was like, I'm so sorry you have to see me like this, I'm so sorry. And so the cashier was like, are you a makeup blogger? Because she just assumed that I'm apologizing for not having makeup, because I usually have it. I was like, I guess if it was up to Gilbert, yes.
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 Once again, tweet us if you think Kalila should start a makeup.
I don't know how to makeup put makeup channel, on.
Even though she doesn't really use it, but.
I mean, I do. I just don't know how to put it on correctly. Oh my God, Googie. Hi.
I'll do a shout out to, let's just go a random one. This guy on my Instagram, DavidIron97, who texted me a picture and said, sorry, bro, I know you wanted it. It is, they casted Beast Boy. And it's a picture of a handsome Asian guy. So thank you for reminding me that. DavidIron97. Any reverse shout outs?
Let me see what I want to do.
Who are my enemies of this week? George, you've never done a reverse shout out.
Yeah, George, come on.
He's too positive. Also, I think I'm too positive. So,
am I the only one who does reverse shout outs?
Yeah.
Oh, any negativity towards me is humorous, so I don't care.
I don't think you're being true to yourself. I see you cry in the corner. I see those tears fall, George.
Reverse shout out to your outfit. We're all not on board. Then we all got on board, and now
I think this is bullshit. What you're doing, right?
So lied.
This is what I don't like about what you're doing. You come in and you're like, you know what? I'm doing an all white thing, and we were resistant. But after a while, after the third week, you're like, you know what, George? This works. And then all of a sudden,
I don't remember hearing that, but keep going.
Last week, then Bobby say, you know what? This works.
He did say that.
And I agreed.
The second half of that.
Yeah.
And then. Here you are reintroducing color back into your life, and now I'm thinking that you're not a consistent person. Stick with a white. You can't do brown leather boots. You can't do leather belt, and you certainly can't do a rainbow fucking scarf.
This ain't no rainbow.
That's some rainbow ass shit. You cannot. You do white. You do white.
It's very bohemian. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Also, my birthday present to you involves a lot of white, and now I'm thinking you're not going to stick to it.
Oh, I'm sticking to it. This is a uniform. A long time ago, I thought like I should have a uniform, and then like I don't know, a month ago, I was thinking like, why don't I have one yet?
Yeah.
Why not just do something? So, because it eliminates the thought when you wake up in the morning. You just wake up, put on whatever's clean. Today I finally did laundry for the first time in a month and a half. So
you can go that long
without doing laundry?
Wow.
Do you have that many clothes and panty?
How many panty you have?
I wear, like, you know, if you, I wear...
Do you side A, side B?
No. Today, I finally had to, like, go commando, and I was like, okay, I am completely out of underwear.
Really? A month and a half? That's so much clothes. Wow, I run out like in 3 weeks, maybe.
Well, I'm wearing the same outfit every day. I got like five button ups and one pair of jeans.
Yeah, but how can you last? If you go a month and a half, then that would mean you would need...
Flip-flops some of the time?
No, I'm talking your clothes.
Clothes or underwear?
Your shirts and stuff. Well, you don't need to wash your jeans, I guess.
Yeah, they're gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta wash your tops and stuff. It's gonna be, you know, amoy pawis.
By the way, this is a Tagalog lesson one conversational. For anyone that's interested in learning the Filipino language.
I can't go a week without laundry just because I don't have that many panties.
Panty.
Yeah, I need panties. Can you guys send me panties?
Me undies, please.
Okay, if you guys send me panties, I don't like lace. I like full coverage, granny 5000s, and the vagina part has to be cotton or I will not wear
She'll
it.
She'll bleed for 7 days.
Yeah.
It's true.
Also, I like me undies.
Also, me undies.
But in general, if like those old school Hanes ones, yeah. the men's briefs.
You like those?
Those are my favorite.
Small.
It doesn't do anything for my sex life, but it does a lot for my soul.
Small? Medium?
Small.
Small.
And a thick band, as long as it's just really like ugly and...
Now you're being demanding.
That's true.
Just accept the band for what it is.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Anything else? You'd like to share?
I'd like to share that I think that Cowboy Cerrone should not be fighting every 3 months.
Ooh, quick MMA minute with Kalila.
Oh, yeah, that was my 10 seconds of the week.
MMA 10 seconds with Kalila. That's just the thing. We should always try to do 10 seconds. Have a thought.
I mean, you do what you want with your career and your body, but I think that he's he needs to rest, I think. Don't you think?
Even that, but I mean, he's 33 now. The guy has so many fights. He could be hitting that point now where he's leaving that prime. That like he can still fight, obviously, but I'm saying like, you know, the age is getting there. Maybe he's not as motivated.
I mean, if you're fighting every 3 months, you're motivated.
Or he just likes the money.
To pick up the paycheck.
He really doesn't care about getting a belt, you know?
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, he's potentially putting himself in like harm's way. You know, double the amount than other fighters are.
That's
by
true.
Taking fight after fight after fight. You know, you need to recover and rest just even mentally.
Mm.
But he also is a badass. I mean, like,
he's
if there's
a killer.
Yeah, and props to him. I just want him to like take a nap or something.
Take a rest. Also, yeah, like, really take your time for sure, because that's 3 losses in a row. That's crazy.
Yeah, but he'll forever be.
He's Cowboy.
Like, I think that he'll always gain the respect of everybody because he's, you know,
Cowboy.
He's paid his dues and he's like shown us the best fights ever.
Shout out to Darren Till though.
Yeah.
I like
that. He looked really loose. He looked great. It almost looked easy.
Yeah, I know.
And
that's why I was
sad.
Like, ooh.
And he's so big. Is he going up to middleweight?
No, he's just a true 170. Remember, Cowboy is 155 going up to 170. So that's why it looked like that. But also Darren Till is, he looked thick.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
Thick.
And that's our MMA minute.
Wait,
just one fight. Did you watch a Carolina fight?
Not yet. I saw the highlights, but those knees. I saw the knees in the highlights.
Yeah, it was pretty lopsided. She destroyed Escobar.
I for sure would rather take a punch to the face than a knee.
I don't want any.
I will take nothing.
Yeah, I don't even want a thwack from any of those guys.
Oh, thwacks.
But that's all we have for this week, guys. You can follow me on all forms of social media at Calamity K.
And George Kimmel at
George_Kimmel.
And you can follow Tiger Belly at Tiger Belly.
Oh.
Twitter at The Tiger Belly. And email city questions at thetigerbelly@gmail.com.
Oh, one more announcement. In honor of George's birthday, which is the day that this podcast is going to air, I'm going to ask all my wonderful friends and family of the Slept Kingdom to stop. We're going to put an end. We're going to let the whole George and Jessica die a permanent death through off a cliff.
But
no,
you have
more
to give them, you have to give them something to replace it with. You got to like idle hands or the devil's.
You could do guilt tits forever.
Yeah,
you can
guilt
tits. Or follow the fan page on Instagram, Gil Knits. Someone made an Instagram dedicated to me in knitting. I have no idea what it means.
Have they posted anything?
I don't know.
I loved it.
I love the concept. I don't know what it is. Like,
yeah.
What do you post? Just me and
Gilbert Knits.
Gil Knits, post something.
Yeah, post something. Like maybe it's just Photoshop pictures of old ladies with my face on it.
Yeah.
There you go. Follow that.
Yeah.
Hashtag guilt tits.
So we're replacing that. And if I need it, I think, to die. I think what happened was I initially thought it was really funny. But then after a while, I was like, okay, I'm over it.
Hashtag, I take that back. No hashtag guilt tits. Put hashtag George and Jessica forever on my stuff.
Do you want to punch do you want to punch the frog out of that throat?
Wow, it was my real voice. Oh, man.
It's my favorite when people get a bubble in their throat.
What is that,
Flo? They persevere and they just keep talking like it's just gonna fucking...
I didn't notice at that time until you said it, and I realized it's just phlegm jammed in my throat.
Well, a frog lives in George's throat, so...
What are you talking about? What are you... Come on now.
What are you talking about? My name is George. I'm George. George Kimmel, the frog. I wear white all the time. I love Jessica.
No, so no more hashtags, you guys.
Way to keep it going there, Gilbert.
Don't do it.
In the middle of don't let's let it die. Gilbert's like,
no,
I can't let it die.
Don't know, die.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's put it right here. Gilbert. R.I.P.
As of today, it dies a permanent death.
Say eulogy right now.
Wait, hold on, you guys. You're making me look bad just by sticking my arm out like this.
What are you doing? Is that a what
that
type
a,
of
a half?
Well, it's gonna look bad. Okay, put a finger on.
No, do a eulogy. Go. Eulogy to the Jordan.
You.
Dear friends and family,
we are gathered here today to honor the death of a love that will never be. R.I.P. Hashtag George and Jessica forever.
Boom. Amen.
Go team.
Yeah.
That's our show, everyone. We know you love it when us three talk at the end.
We could change it to our. No, because you can't do R.I.P. George and Jessica, but they die.
That'd be like, oh, people are like, oh, shit. What if George's mom saw that? Oh, my God, my son died. That's our show, guys. But it is George's birthday, so if you do want to start a new hashtag, it's hashtag happy birthday, George.
Oh, and send him panties, because apparently he only does laundry every month and a half, and he is chonies.
Yeah, this was the longest I've gone in a while, but yeah.
Where can we send George birthday gifts, Kalila?
To 1626 North Wilcox Avenue, number 161, Hollywood, California, 90028.
Boom. Have a good day, everyone.
Paalam.
Did I say palm olive? Palm olive.
Paalam.
Paalam. Tiger belly. Yeah. All right, bye.